Oh, that's right. We are right here in Greenwood, South Carolina, and we have the one and only Congressman Jeff Duncan back on the line with us. How you doing this morning, Jeff?
Yes, okay. I'm doing great, Ann. Thanks for having me on. Hope you are as well.
Oh, yeah. I am actually glad to see some rain today. I've had some allergies, and I was just praying for some rain, and finally we got a little rain, so it's going to wash this pollen away. But what a time.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Most people know I drive a big red Chevy truck, and yesterday it was a big yellow Chevy truck.
I know. And it's until we get through this pollen season, it seems like it's just exploded worse than ever this year. So it's got to be difficult for you, Jeff. How are you working with your staff and everything when you're not in Washington and they're all in different places? How are you working?
Well, we are mainly doing remote work from home. Even my staff up in Washington are working remotely from home. We have one person in the office. Capitol Hill, the office buildings are pretty much shut down for any outside visitors. That doesn't mean staff can't come in, but we are limiting our staff exposure, and we're using technology. I have 5 conference calls today. I am on a number of group text and communicating with my staff through phone calls and texts, and even using technology to be on your program this morning.
I know. It is amazing. Excuse me. We certainly couldn't be doing all this if we didn't have the technology. But we are still, how are we going to deal with this, with what's happening in the Senate?
Well, the Democrats are blocking a piece of legislation. You know, last week it was hurry, hurry, rush, rush. We've got to pass this. They introduced a bill right at midnight. We had 20 minutes worth of debate and 20 minutes to actually read a 124-page piece of legislation that ultimately spent $100 billion. And I voted no, of course, just because I had not read the bill, didn't know what was in it, didn't know what I was voting for, and was kind of upset with the process of only having 20 minutes worth of debate when we as members of Congress weren't able to go down and talk about what we found in the bill, what we liked about the bill, what we didn't like about it. And so it was hurry, hurry, hurry. And now Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, along with Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, have said we need to slow down and we need to address a few more things. They want to get, you know, slush funds in there for unions and some other priorities that the progressive have, even though 5 different working groups of senators and the White House and even some of the House members had been working all weekend on a piece of legislation. What they have to do is get through cloture vote, which is a motion to proceed, and that stops filibusters. Well, Chuck Schumer's filibustering right now, basically under the modern filibuster rules. I hope Americans will take note that the Democrats are blocking this process and remember that. First, it was hurry, hurry, hurry. Now it's slow down. When we know this phase 3 bill is necessary to stable the markets, to get the needed supplies to our healthcare workers, get the protection our healthcare workers need, that's personal protection equipment, but that's also unemployment insurance and job security our healthcare workers need and others across the country need that are out of work or working from home or worried about the viability of their businesses. So this is an important piece of legislation. It's a huge price tag. I wish I could tell you everything that's in it. It's such a large bill, we're still looking at it. So,
well, Jeff, I mean, you know, this. There's so many things floating around about it, and I heard yesterday that the president had is allowing the stockpiles of supplies to be used for healthcare workers. This shortage on masks that they've been talking about and everything. How do you feel as a congressman feel about how the government is reacting to this crisis, and are we going to be able to bounce back? I know the word is, oh yes, we'll bounce back, but I sit here as a small business person and I look around at other people that are small business people and I'm not sure how it's going to happen, Jeff.
You know, we've been in this about 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, from businesses being closed, and we don't know what the future's like. It's very uncertain. So as a former small business owner, I very much empathize with that small businesses are facing. But last week in the bill that passed, the House and Senate, the President signed, put a 14-day mandate on small businesses to pay family medical leave and sick leave when their employees weren't working. And that was an upfront cash payment that they have to pay. They have to make payroll for those 14 days, even though some businesses are having to shut down because they don't have the necessary employees working to keep the doors open, but yet they're still mandated to pay that. There were other ways to approach that through pumping some money in the unemployment insurance and allowing those employees to tap into that, eliminating or at least postponing any sort of Medicare or Social Security or payroll taxes that the employer would have to pay for a period of time. That saves them cash outlays that they would have to pay the federal government. There were some things we could have addressed versus what they actually did in that bill. If you remember, phase one was an $8.3 billion price tag to help with the medical supplies, the testing kits, to help healthcare. That was the original phase one, and I voted for that. Then I couldn't vote for something that we had to pass in order to find out what was in it. That's why we're studying right now what the Senate is going to be able to do, what McConnell and his company have over there with the Senate have proposed along with the White House. And we'll know the baseline, and then we'll see what the Democrats are trying to change in this. So we're a little bit ahead of the curve. When the bill comes back to the House, we'll have a better idea what's in it. I can inform people. But small businesses, large businesses are suffering right now because of government mandates, of them closing, of people not being able to travel outside of certain communities or their homes to purchase or shop or do the things that they do. It's bad. It's bad on the hospitality industry. It's bad on the airlines. It's bad on motor coaches. It's bad on a lot of other small businesses that rely on that walk-in traffic that's not coming in right now. So we're going to be very sympathetic of those businesses. But we want to make sure this isn't a Wall Street bailout either. We want to make sure that the money gets to where the rubber meets the road. I've got hospitals in my district that have respirators that have been confiscated by the government, whether it's state government or federal government, so they can be redistributed around the state. Well, what happens when that hospital that had those respirators all of a sudden has a need for respirators? Are they going to be able to get some of those back? The president's ramped up manufacturing in this country to address the needs, whether it's testing kits, whether it's respirators, whether it's masks, whether it's other PPE equipment for healthcare workers. The situation is this, Ann. As of this morning, 35,075 coronavirus cases across the country. We've had 458 deaths. The biggest epicenter is New York. New York State saw an increase of 1,110 new cases yesterday. That brings their total to 16,900 cases. They've had 36 new deaths in the last 24 hours, 36 people. So New York's the epicenter. But if you look at most states, they're experiencing one or two, three deaths. South Carolina's experienced three deaths. So the states are really working hard. I want to applaud the president. I think he got out ahead of this to stop the travel from China. This is a virus that originated in China. A lot of the cases were spread around the world from people that had traveled to China on business or Chinese individuals that were traveling to other countries on business, and they were carrying the coronavirus disease. So I think the president was right to stop that travel. And, we're just watching very closely on treatment, whether this treatment that came out of France with the malaria drug coupled with azithromycin will actually work. The president has talked about that. Governor Cuomo in New York is actually pushing that now for New Yorkers. So hopefully that will be a treatment. I don't know that it's a cure, but definitely a treatment that will slow the process and stop coronavirus in those patients. While the nation works on a vaccine, and I think it's all hands on deck that the nation is working on cures and vaccines for this.
Jeff, but every year we have a tremendous amount of people die from the flu. We have all these things. Why did they take such a hard line on this pandemic when the deaths are not that great and even the number of cases, truthfully, are not that great?
Well, the flu's been around forever, and we know what we're dealing with the flu. We know how to treat the flu. We know that it's going to be fatal to a certain segment of the population every year. There is no cure for the flu. There is a flu vaccine that will stop most cases of flu, but they have to guess on what strain of the flu is going to look like every year. But we've been dealing with the flu for a long time. This is a novel coronavirus, which is different than the flu, different the way it's constructed as a virus, different in the way it acts. It's highly contagious. It's easily transmissible. We're finding that out. And because it is novel, it's new, we really don't know what we're dealing with. But we've seen a rapid spread of cases around the globe. That shows you how contagious it is. And then, the death rate is low now, but we see spikes every day in countries like Italy and Spain and then in New York. So comparing this to the flu, when I talk to my doctors and my best friend from college is a doctor, we talk daily. They tell me that because this is novel, because it's new, because of the way it is transmitted, it went from animal to human, they believe, and then from human to human almost immediately. The human to human contact, human to human spread is something they're trying to get ahead of and trying to understand. So, yes, the flu is bad, but we don't know ultimately how bad coronavirus will be. And this is going to be with us for a while. In fact, my doctor told me this morning, everybody will probably end up with coronavirus when it's all said and done. Just like most people end up with the flu, most people have a cold. These are viruses that spread. We need to make sure that we have a cure, we have a treatment, and hopefully have a vaccine.
Jeff, have you been tested for the coronavirus?
I have not. And, I've been at home for the last, 7, 8, 9 days. This is the 9th day. No one in my family is showing any symptoms. I'm not showing any symptoms. I did fly on an aircraft. I was in Washington last week, week before last, with around a lot of people. So we're just trying to make sure that nobody shows any symptoms. I'm not necessarily self-quarantining myself, but I've limited my my activity around the district to one-on-one meetings. Last week when we were in the district some, we canceled a lot of different things we did with larger groups. I've spent some time outdoors away from people. I'm experiencing the same pollen thing you're experiencing, but that's no different than every year. I get the same pollen, congestion and runny nose and eyes and that sort of thing. That's why I posted on Facebook yesterday, and know the symptoms of coronavirus. Don't confuse them with the symptoms that you get every year if you have allergies or if pollen, if you don't have allergies, pollen still affects a lot of people with their sinuses and some get a little congestion. Just know the symptoms. The symptoms of coronavirus are, for a lot of young people, they lose the sense of taste and smell first. That's one of the early symptoms. Then slight fever, and this fever can go up to as high as over 100. Some body aches, just a weird feeling with body aches. And then generally a dry cough. That's a cough that's not really coughing up the mucus like you would get with bronchitis. It's more of a dry cough. So if you experience those, body aches, fever, dry cough, loss of the sensation of taste or smell, then call somebody. Call your health care provider. Call DHEC, and we put numbers out there, and let them go over the symptoms with you. Because they may say, stay at home, monitor it, don't come to the hospital. Because what's happening is everyone with a cold now, with a little sniffle, is thinking they have coronavirus and they're wanting to rush to the hospital. There's no need for people that don't actually have coronavirus to go to the hospital and overwhelm the system. That's not necessary, and should be cautioned.
Jeff, have you read the bill that the House sent over there now?
So the House bill's already passed, and it's signed into law. We've read it. Before the Senate actually took it up. If keep in mind, the bill that I voted no on was still being drafted as the vote was being tabulated. In fact, it was so bad they went in on Monday during the afternoon and rewrote it. Made some technical corrections, yes, but they added some new language. And then brought it up for another vote. Well, we had already left Washington, so they voted by unanimous consent. And on the rewritten bill, they voted on it and then sent it over to the Senate.
Jeff,
and the Senate passed it immediately. So It's crazy how the process worked over there.
Jeff, I didn't think that was supposed to be able to happen. I thought after Obamacare was done that you all changed it so you had to have at least 24 hours to read and study a bill.
Well, the House Republicans changed it to 3 days. We had a 3-day rule.
Okay.
After Obamacare. But the Republicans were in control in 2011 through 2018. The Democrats are in control now, and they can do whatever they want to. They change the rules, they ignore the rules, and they push through legislation like this with 20 minutes to read the bill. That's how they roll. They want to pass something, so we have to pass it in order to read it and find out what's in it. Republicans don't operate that way. I cautioned against it. I said there was no reason to rush this bill. The Senate wasn't coming back until Monday evening.
Right.
This was on Friday night, Saturday morning, 12:30 at night. So there was no reason that we could have waited until the next day. We could have stayed in Washington on Saturday, really taken our time and voted on that. And it wasn't something we had to rush in order to stabilize the financial markets because the market wasn't opening until 9:30 on Monday morning. We had time. But yet they rushed it. And there again, they rushed it because they really didn't want us to know what was in it and how it operated. So they ended up having to come back and rewrite it on Monday. We do unanimous consent stuff all the time. We didn't object once we read the bill. We had objections to some of the language, but we understood the president wanted this. We felt like the Senate was going to take it up, no objections. And after they rewrote the bill, I could have gone to Washington, objected, made every congressman come back and actually cast a physical vote on Monday. But that wasn't the right thing, given where we were in the nation and what we needed to do, act quickly for our health care workers. And so we actually passed that bill on Monday. Senate voted on it. On Tuesday, President signed it into law Wednesday or Thursday, and healthcare workers and testing kits and other things got done. But there are some caveats in that bill that I'm hoping that the third bill will go back and tweak a little bit.
So the bill that the Senate is working on that now is a different bill?
Yes, ma'am. This is phase three.
Okay.
So this bill will be about $1 trillion in spending.
Can we afford
about
this,
half
Jeff?
Of that? I'm sorry?
Can we afford this? Since we are the taxpayers,
you know,
we are the ones that have to... I mean...
We're $23 trillion in debt, and that's a great question to ask. Can we afford it? But as a nation that's seeing this economic turmoil, can we afford not to do some things? And that's the age-old question. And I don't know. I'm going to look at what the money's spent on. I'm going to talk with a lot of experts to see how the money's spent. And how we plan on repaying some of this. Who's being bailed out? Is this a Boeing bailout bill? Well, Boeing probably needs some money from the federal government to stabilize because they do so much for our national defense, not just building Dreamliners down in Charleston, but as a company, Boeing does a lot for our nation. So what is the right thing to do? You know me, I'm very cautious, especially when it comes to spending and debt for our nation. And we're going to look at this bill and make sure that that we're going to achieve necessary things to stabilize this economy, get those small businesses back online that you mentioned earlier, so that we can rebound from this coronavirus and what we're experiencing right now really quickly. We have a robust and healthy economy. 2 weeks ago, before all this hit, it was going gangbuster, not just the stock market, but all the businesses in South Carolina's 3rd District were doing very, very well. And then all of a sudden, we're hit with this. This is dangerous. This is scary. This is provides a lot of uncertainty about what the future looks like. And so we need to make sure that government plays its role, but also that government doesn't trample on the civil liberties of Americans, that we follow the Constitution, that the president doesn't overstep his boundary, that Congress doesn't overstep its boundary, and that we think long term about the fact that we are $23 trillion in debt. What I hope comes out of all this, Ann, is that we start streamlining FDA and the National Institutes of Health and CDC so that, you know, we can get ahead of the curve with new cures, new vaccines, new medicines, new treatments that may have been in the works, but were stymied by a slow bureaucratic FDA process over the last 20 years. We need to streamline that so that things can move a lot more rapidly. That is probably why we don't have all the respirators and masks and other things that we need, and drugs, medicine, because of the FDA process and how they restrict things. So hopefully something good will come out of that as far as shrinking government and streamlining the process.
How about all this conversation about China's control, shall we say, over the U.S. with the drug manufacturers and things such as this? Do we see this going to change?
Absolutely. I think you're going to see more manufacturing, not just in the pharmaceutical industries, but more manufacturing in general coming back to the United States of America, because there are companies here that are relying on a supply chain. They're relying on, for a finished product, certain products made in China to be made so that those widgets can be put into the final product here. That supply chain has been interrupted. I'll give you an example. When BMW brought ZF transmissions to South Carolina, it happened after a volcano in Iceland that restricted air flights from Germany to the United States. Well, they needed those air flights to bring transmissions to go into BMWs being built here in South Carolina. BMW said, no, we're going to move that transmission line to the United States so that we won't have this supply chain interruption in the future. Well, companies all over the country are experiencing that same supply chain interruption now because of China and this coronavirus. I think you're going to see more and more of that supply chain come back to the United States. I think you'll see us bring back pharmaceutical industry to the United States because of how critical it is to have that here. The president signaled that. Others have signaled that. The Democrats are in agreement with the president on that. And so hopefully we will see that. But there will be a cost. China doesn't pay their workers as much as the workers demand here in the United States. And especially when you see increases or calls for increase in minimum wages and other things, that increases the overhead for the companies, and that will be passed on the consumer. So you may see pharmaceuticals even priced higher. Hopefully not. We'll see. We need to get that manufacturing back to the country and put Americans to work doing that because it's critical in times like these.
It is, and I think the other thing is, aren't we seeing that China is even could be in control of the drugs that we need here, because if they don't get treated the way they feel they should be treated?
Yeah, China's going to take it on the chin for this because of public perception. Everybody in the world knows where this was originated. They know China kept the data and kept the facts out of the media for too long. If we'd have gotten ahead of this right when it happened, the world would have been better prepared. But yet China slow walked this and the severity of it. And so they're going to take it on the chin from a PR standpoint. They're going to take it on the chin for manufacturing leaving their country to come back to other places in the world, because the United States isn't the only country that is saying we need to bring our manufacturing back to our shores. So China's going to experience that job loss. The public perception of China is not good globally right now, and I don't think they're going to be able to repair that anytime soon. We can't even trust the numbers coming out of China now. They're saying this thing's over in China, that they hadn't had any deaths in 70 hours. I'm hearing otherwise from people on the ground in China. So I know our security apparatus and folks that are monitoring that from a security aspect in Washington are hearing the same thing, that China's lying, manipulating the data, and not showing the world the real picture. So China's going to definitely take it on the chin on this, and that's probably a good thing for manufacturing for U.S. American strength.
And one last question, Jeff. How long is this going to last? You know, we heard about the 15 days, and I think everybody was on board with 15 days. Now we're hearing the possibility of up to 12 weeks before people are able to get back to work and this type of thing. What is your thoughts on this? What are you hearing?
Well, we're less than 7 days into it right now. Maybe today's the seventh day since the 15-day concept was thrown out there. I just think there's so much unknown, and I wish I could tell you this thing's going to end on April 15th and we're going to get back to normal. Nobody knows. And so I think the 15-day period was common sense, that to step back, let's be calm, let's not tax the healthcare industry, the hospitals and the healthcare professionals, and let's see how this thing is progressing when you don't have a lot of social mingling, when you don't have people congregating in large groups, and we try to slow the spread of this this virus some. And then after, at the end of 15 days, we'll see if it's actually working. We'll see if that curve is flattening out, and hopefully we'll have a little more data there. The president said this thing could last into the summer. He meant the coronavirus could last into the summer with the number of cases we're reporting, but you should see an increase in the number of cases because we're doing more testing. And if you do more testing, you're going to have more results. There's not going to be an unknown variable. You're going to have more real-time data. So I think you'll see a continued increase of cases. What I hope we get ahead of is a cure, a treatment, so that we have fewer deaths, and we actually see that bell curve going back down on the number of deaths.
So you don't know how long this is going to go on.
No, I don't have that crystal ball today. I'm sorry.
I wish you did, because I know a lot of people are sitting there going, when are we going to be able to go back and do things? I know it's just been 7 days, but still, yeah.
I know, and you know, don't panic. Use common sense. Don't hoard more than you need. Have a good supply of food and other things. I don't know why people are going after toilet paper. That still baffles me. But make sure that you can provide for you and your family for a length of time here. Let the stores kind of replenish. Don't go in and buy everything up. Just buy what you need. Use some common sense here. Because if you hoard stuff, that's stuff that somebody that might need it doesn't have access to. Let the stores kind of get back. The supply chain's still good for grocers. But it just takes a little while to replenish when the store shelves are empty. And so use common sense there. Use common sense as far as social interaction. Use common sense as far as symptoms and going to healthcare unless you have to. And use common sense about the market. It will rebound. You don't have to sell stocks, and don't worry about your IRAs. These things will plant out, and we'll be okay. Manufacturing is going to come back to this country. The economy is going to come back. I think it's going to come back stronger because we'll be less reliant on China. If folks would just use their head, use common sense, and not panic, I think we can all get through this. We're America. America does great things because of our freedom, because of our government structure, because of the bright people we have, the entrepreneurs and innovators in this country, the freedom to innovate and be an entrepreneur in this country. And so we will come back. I believe we'll come back stronger.
All right, Congressman Jeff Duncan, you've been recorded here, so I'm going to hold you to some of these things.
That's okay. I don't have the crystal ball, so we'll see what happens.
I know you will. And I really appreciate you taking the time this morning to talk to us, and we'll look forward to getting an update maybe after you take a look at what the Senate's doing. How about that?
Yeah, that'll work. Let's see what the Senate passes, and then try to get back on and tell you what I know about the bill. May come back on at the end of the 15-day period, if you want, and sure. Talk about what we know at that point, and just try to keep everybody informed.
All right. Thank you so much, Congressman Jeff Duncan. God bless. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ann. God bless.
Bye-bye. All righty. Bye-bye. All right. You just heard Congressman Jeff Duncan right here on WCRS.